So the Mesillas Yesharim just finished saying what Chassidus is not. And now he's going to discuss what Chassidus is. Ach, Metzius HaChassidus Atzmei Hu Dover Omoik Me'oid Lahavina Yal Nochen. The Metzius of Chassidus itself is something that's very, very deep to understand it well. It's based on foundations of great Chachma and absolute tikkun hamaisa, and it was being able to be absolutely misakin midas. Asheroi lekol chacham lev lirdoif acharov, that every chacham, it's roi that he should chase after it. Ki rak lechachamim lahasigoi be'emes. Just chachamim can really get it. And this is something that's a misconception in the world today, that people think that people with good midas and intelligent people, those are two separate types of people. There's the smart people, and there's the nice people. And so Yesharim teaches us that true tikkun hamidos can only come through great chachma and chakira and drisha and intelligence to understand the midah, to understand the source of the midah, to understand the ramifications and the causes and the effects of a midah and how it interacts with other midahs. It's a greiser chachma. It's not something that, just be nice. It doesn't work that way. That's what Chazal say. And Amoritz can't be a chassid. And we'll be mevar this inyan on the correct seder, step by step, starting from the basics. Hine, shayrish hachassidus hu masha amru zuchayna levracha. The source of chassidus, the root of chassidus, is the words of Chazal, ashrei adam sha'amole b'tayra, fortunate is a person whose toil is in Tayra. The oisa nachas ruach liyotzer, he makes a nachas ruach, what we call a good feeling, a feeling of nachas to his creator. So the way the Gemara is describing why a person who works hard and learning is fortunate is because he gives the Rabbanu Shalom nachas. The inyan who and this the inyan here is kihine hamitzvos hamutalos al kol Yisrael kvar yiduos hen. The mitzvahs that each yid has to do, those are already well known. Everybody knows what they have to do. A person has to daven 3 times a day. A person has to put on tzitzis, tefillin. There are mitzvahs that a person has to do. They're part of the job that a person has. The chayvasan yidu ad heichani magas, and the chayva is it's known what the gedorim of each chayv is. When it starts, when it ends, how much you have to spend on it, and so on. These are halachos in Shulchan Aruch. Omnam, however, Misha Oyev Es Habayri Yisbarach Shemay Ava Amitis, someone who truly loves the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Lo Yishtadel V'Yechavein Lifter Atzmei B'Masha Kvar Mefursim Min Achoyva Asher Al Kol Yisrael B'Chlal. He won't try to concentrate on pattering himself, on getting himself off the hook, just by doing the bare minimum that everybody knows that's the Chayva that you have to do. Rather, what will happen to him? Elo yikra loy, what will happen to him is kemoisha yikra el ben oyev aviv, is what happens to a son who has a tremendous love for his father. She'ilu yigala aviv es daita. Think about it, in any relationship, in his mashal, a son has a tremendous love for his father. So what does he do? When his father tells him to do something, he does it and just tries to get away with the minimum. Well, he listens carefully. What does his father like? What does his father appreciate? What are the types of things that his father has hana from? Someone who has that type of relationship, they want that which their father would like. My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, recently became a kala. So by the vart, my mother-in-law's brother came to the Vart. And before he left, he went over to my mother-in-law, he went over to his sister, and everyone said different compliments about the chassid and different things that they liked about him. And when he went over to my mother-in-law, he said, Daddy would have loved him. Because her father was nifter a few years ago. And that's the only thing about the Vart that she remembers. She remembers that her brother, who's a Talmud Chacham, which she respects, said that her father would have liked him. That's all she needed to hear. When someone has that loving kesher with their father, all they need to know is that that's what their father liked.
Why is to do the mushroom of a person with his father, isn't that many times that's that relationship of people that are just trying to partner up, maybe by chassidus, when you're holding by chassidus, or maybe you're not. That in general, most people are just trying to partner up things.
Let me finish this thing, and I'll get back to the question. I just want to read another few lines. If the father would reveal his das a little bit, just like he would say, like one time, like I'd appreciate, you know, such and such. The son would be marbe very much, would do this thing. And he would do this action as much as possible. The even though his father never said it, one time, half a sentence. I don't really like this and that. That's it, I'm not doing it anymore. I really appreciate when people such and such. Every single time, the father would say, I really like strawberry ice cream. Every time the son comes to visit, he's going to bring his strawberry ice cream. One time the father mentioned it. But his father, he loves his father so much, and he was megala a little bit what he likes, and the son will be marba to do it. That was enough for the son to understand where the das of his father is pointing. To do even that which he didn't tell him beferish. Since he can figure out himself that this thing will cause nachas to his father, and he won't wait. He won't wait for his father to say it out explicitly. So to say it again. So this is the mashal that the Mesillas Yesharim is saying about the relationship of the chassid with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He's not here just to be mekayem mitzvos, but he has such an ava, such a cheshek to please the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that he's searching for more ways to make the Rabbeinu Shel Olam happy. The reason why he picks this mashal of a father and a son, even though it's true, often that could be the punk, the relationship that there's a tension or trying to patter up. Who doesn't try to patter up and the parents want them to do things? But it's also the type of relationship that is the most similar, with Taivu Lamutav, the most similar between Ivan Hashem and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Because first of all, when the relationship is correct, it's one of the deepest types of relationships that exist. And not just that, but it couldn't have said it the other way. Because there's a different type of relationship of the sons trying to give back to the father. This is the feeling that the Mesillas Yesharim is trying to give over. The feeling of, well, I have such a close relationship with my father, and he's given me so much, I'm just desperate to do something for him. I just, some excuse, I want to do something. Strawberry ice cream, fine, I can give him strawberry ice cream. You know, so, I want to do something. There's that, almost that feeling of, if any of you have had someone in your life that you felt like that person just gave you so much, it's almost embarrassing. You just received so much from that person, so you know that you have that, the feeling you have to that person is that you just want to hear something that person likes. And you're going to go and you just feel such a hakaras hatov that it's frustrating. You're just waiting for him to say something and you'll do it. That's the relationship. That relationship could exist with milui, with a father and son, much more than even with a husband and wife or a son and the father. Because it's that relationship of, he brought me into the world, he gave me my life, he taught me a livelihood, he brought me up, he gave me food and clothing, he said so much for me, I got to do something in return. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim is trying to capture. I mentioned it before, but it comes into play over here that I feel like I want to just bring it out again, that this is exactly the way Klal Yisrael was by the Binyan HaMishkan. This is Klal Yisrael by the Binyan HaMishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says bring gold and silver and copper and all these things, and Klal Yisrael gets so enthusiastic about bringing that they pashut cannot stop bringing. Finally, the Rabbi Shalom said he wants something. Let's bring it and bring and bring and bring and bring and bring until they complain to Moshe Rabbeinu that you got to get them to stop. They don't stop bringing. That's the chassid. Moshe Rabbeinu had to force them to hold themselves back and to stop bringing. We had a diuk like this a couple of weeks ago in the Mesillas Yesharim, and I think it brings out the point, again, very, very, very strongly, that I think we feel like people who are tremendous machmirim or do a lot more in Avodas Hashem lead a lot more of a stressful life. Because we feel like we struggle so much to hold ourselves back from doing things that are wrong. And we have to push so hard to do the things that are right. It's so difficult. We have to really push and push and push to do the things that are right. I have to daven. I have to get up and I have to daven. It's hard to get up and it's hard to daven. So if I would get up even earlier, if I would daven even longer, it's like even more impossible. If I would, it's bad enough, I have to keep away from this other, this other, this other. If I also wouldn't do the A, B, C, D, E, F that I really also should be makbir on, what I look at, what I listen to, what I'm involved with, where I go, if I would add to that list, like life is stressful enough, leave me alone. I think we feel that way sometimes. When you read the Mesillas Yesharim, you realize that the life of the person who does it all is stress-free compared to our life. Because since we didn't develop that relationship yet, and that's a shame, we have to keep developing, since we didn't yet develop that love affair with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that passion, that excitement to do for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so everything is a burden. I have to daven. Shine, I have to daven. It's a burden on us. So just to take on more burden seems impossible. The eight is, and this is why it's such a big mistake when people stop trying to add chumras. It comes from you. Elzman, people are adding chumras. It comes, this time people are making kabbalas. That's not the approach. It's not dafka the approach. Sometimes the approach is to change your focus. Make it not a burden anymore. To learn to develop a relationship with Hashem that we feel so grateful to Hashem, that we feel so close to Hashem, that we recognize how much Hashem did for us, that it's so meaningful to us, the involvement that Hashem, the hashgacha pratis that Hashem has in our life, that we just want to do for Him. I wish there was 10 tefillas a day. Unfortunately, I only get to daven 3. If we can have that attitude, suddenly the added things don't seem so difficult. My father always tells me that Rabbi Aaron Kotler used to wait for davening like we wait for a meal. We have 3 meals a day. We know when it's time for breakfast, lunch, and supper. We know already. We're looking at our watch. We're waiting. Where are we eating? We're making arrangements in our mind already. We can't concentrate on Seder. Where are we going to eat? Who are we going to eat with? Where are we going to go? Is there good supper? Isn't there? We're trying to smell the, you know, while we're sitting and learning. Is there good supper down there? There's not good supper. It's a big focus in our mind. The next meal, the next meal, the next meal. He says, Rabbi Aaron didn't think so much about eating. Whatever they put in front of him, he would quickly eat and go on. But it was always on his mind, the next tefillah, mincha is coming, oh, it's mamish, delicious, it's getting close to mincha, he's already working up an appetite. He's going to get to stand in front of Hashem and talk to Hashem again. Incredible. That's the enthusiasm of an oyev. I get to talk to him again. It's very, very, very hard for us to wake up one day and be ma'or ava to Hashem. But the truth is that many of us do already have it in our seichel, and we know that we have so much to be grateful for, but there's a certain sluggishness, a certain slowness, a certain sleepiness that settles into our avodas Hashem. Yeah, 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 Hashem, you're so good to me. We're partially not alive enough to even express the feelings that we have. That's right, because it's rote. But the oyev to the chassid is no rote. Every day is a new exciting day, a new deepening relationship with Hashem. There is no rote, but 100%. For us, we know we have so much to be grateful for. We're alive, that alone. You know how valuable life is? We're alive. Life is very precious. Every minute of life is precious. We're alive and we're well, and Hashem takes care of us, and we get to learn Torah, and so many brachas, so many things that if they would be taken away from us, we would miss so dearly. We would miss so dearly. You can try. Do an exercise. You can try. Just realize tonight. Go back to your room and take a scarf and wrap it around your face. Close up your eyes. Close up your eyes and just try to get into pajamas, do massage your things, groping around, do that for 20 minutes. You'll see, you'll make a different Parkei Chivrim tomorrow. We have sight, we can see. You know what I mean, that we can see? Helen Keller wrote a beautiful article, a famous article, beautiful, beautiful article. If someone can get it, it would be very valuable. I would even give it out if someone could get it somehow. She wrote a beautiful article of what she would do if she had one day to see. One day or 2 days, I don't remember exactly. But if she was given a certain amount of time to see, what would she do? She would want to gaze at certain people's faces that she knows so well, but she doesn't know what they look at. She would want to understand what colors mean. She would want to see nature. You know what it means? We know what a color is. A blind person doesn't know what a color is. Describe a color to a blind person. They never see color. We don't thank Hashem. Hashem gave us the appreciation of color. The appreciation of being able to see something. When we're walking, we can see there's something in the way and we can walk around it and we don't fall and hurt ourselves. It's such a matana. That's just one thing. Now you can try to stuff up your ears for a little while. See what it's like not to be able to see. You start talking on top of your lungs because you think that if you can't hear, nobody else can either. And there's things going on around you. You have no idea. If chas v'shalom, an alarm would go off, or there would be a siren, or azhar, or someone calling for help, you would never be able to hear them. You know, as a parent, I think to myself, how often I have to thank Hashem that when the baby cries in the middle of the night, as much as I wish I wouldn't, but I could hear it. Because or else the baby would just cry and cry and would never be taken care of. You have to thank Hashem for ears. And when you think like that, I just picked two things. There's so much. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And we have it in us because when we have a stuffed nose, we don't stop thinking about how horrible it is. But now I feel good. I don't have a cold now. I don't think about it. There's just so much to be thankful for that it's unbelievable. But we're fresh sloughed. We're sleeping. We just go through life half asleep. We mentioned last time, Haman's Tainat Achashverish. Yeshna Yam Echad. Yashnu. Haman told Achashverish, they're sleeping. They're fresh sloughed. They're sleeping. We have to be alive. We have to be lebedik. I told my second Seder here today, I read a beautiful, beautiful story on Shabbos. This story was told to, is in one of Pesach Gron's books, and it was told to him by Reb Shlomo Bronstein. He made a Sheva Brachas in Reb Shlomo Freifeld's house. And Reb Shlomo Freifeld was already ill, but he spoke by the Sheva Brachas and he said this story. The story that he said was about the Kotzker Rebbe. Kotzker Rebbe was giving a child a bechina, and the bechina was on Parshas Bereishis. And the end of Parshas Bereishis, as you know, it talks about all the generations, and this one lived this amount of years, and Vayolad Banu Muvanois, Vayamois. You know, he lived, and he lived a certain amount of years, then he had a child, and he lived another certain amount of years, and then he died. And the child was reading it and teaching it into Yiddish, like they used to do. So for every Vayachi, he said, Onerat Gilep, then he lived. Vayachi, this, and this one lived, and Onerat Gilep. And every time he said Vayamois, he said, Onerat Gishtarbin, and he died. And the Kotzker said, that's not the right, you're not saying it right. So they could try it again. I mean, he knows, maybe he switched it around. He tried to concentrate very, very much. Vayechi, when Eretz Gelept. And then again, Vayamois, when Eretz Gestorben. You know, and he lived, and he died. Because, like, you're not saying it right. Finally, the kid's like, I'm stuck. As far as I know, Vayechi is an Eretz Gelept. What do you want from me? So, Nikotka said, this is the way you're supposed to do it. Vayechi un erat gelept. Vayomois un erat gestorben. That's how you have to read it. Alive, life means something. Alive people have to be alive. Vayechi means he lived. Wake up. He was alive. He was a living person. Vayomois, he died. We have to be alive. We have so... We open Mesillas Yesharim and we read about loving Hashem and we think we have no shaychus to loving Hashem. And it's not true. We have shaychus to loving Hashem. It's easy to develop certain feelings of loving Hashem. We're just going through life with our eyes closed. We're half asleep. We're too busy thinking about the annoying things in life. If there's anything we can get out of a Purim that's coming our way. The simcha of being alive, that's really what it is. Haman wanted to kill us. The Purim is about the simcha of being alive. Chanukah is about Torah and other Yom Tov. You see, as Mitzrayim is coming out of Mitzrayim, Purim is about being alive. I'm alive, and I can appreciate life, and I can do something with my life. We're not just alive; we're alive and well, Baruch Hashem. We have to be shaking with life, Lebedik. When we dance, we have to dance. We have to sing. We have to be alive. People, it's such a sad thing sometimes. You see people. I recently was talking to someone about Lebedika people. And I said, like, look around the world, around you. How many live people are dead? You go around, you see people walking, their heads down. They're not, alive. It's getting springtime. The flowers are starting to come up. Look at the ground. The flowers are coming up. It's something to be excited about. The snow is melting. The weather's getting nicer. Let's wait. We had an excuse to sleep during the snowstorms. Now already the sun is starting to come out. We have to be alive, vibrant, enthusiastic, strong, energetic, pumping. That's Avodas Hashem. There's nothing in Avodas Hashem that says to be half asleep. That's Hamonstein, a Yashnu, they're sleeping. We have to be Nadidashnas HaMelech. We have to wake up, to stop being asleep. And if we could start the dancing in this Chodesh Adar Beis, and start the excitement from being alive. I had a roommate, it's getting close to my already, I had a roommate in Pachad Yitzchak. He was a funny guy. And, you know, when you wake up in the morning, it's like the last thing you want to do is get out of bed. And this guy, every once in a while, he was an interesting fellow. He was in bed before he even opened his eyes. He would start singing. And I was in the bed next to him. Of course, at that time of the day, I felt like killing him. But he would start singing. And it's a ridiculous thing. Sometimes he would start singing a song. Sometimes he'd be like, today is Friday. You know, he was like, start singing. And after a while, I came so much to appreciate it. Like, we would start the day smiling. That's how he got himself out of bed. He just started singing. Like, good morning. Maida Ani, good morning. Imagine the Maida Ani we would say if something happened to us and we couldn't wake up. And then we were able to wake up. Imagine the Maida Ani if someone was in a coma. We don't have any less of Hakara Satoiv that we wake up in the morning. We get another chance at life. Another chance to accomplish something. Every day is an empty keli that we get to fill however we want. It's an empty canvas that we get to paint whatever color we want. Let's attack life with life.